Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. It has been a busy month, Ducks. It's been a busy month since we've talked.
It's still March, man. It's been the longest March.
Yeah, I think we're now into 370 something days of March here. We've gone complete circle. It has been a long month, year of March. But in the world of there's just a lot. We're just gonna dive right in because. This beginning of this week, and I'm curious because I want to get your opinion on this because you probably have more experience with SLAs than I do. But this week, Microsoft 365 went down, but it turns out it was really Azure AD that took a little nap from the office. And so here's the crux of this. You know, things go down, and we're not going to argue that, but here's the finer details. Microsoft has an SLA in place for Azure AD of 99.9% uptime availability. Now, starting April 1st, they announced this late last year, they were going to go to 99.99% availability as an SLA guarantee. With the outage this month, Microsoft would have broken their SLA for that 99.99% guarantee in April, but because it's still March, they didn't break it. Now, they also said that they're in the process of rolling out additional redundancy enhancements to Azure AD that are supposed to be done by mid-2021, relating to the Azure AD outage that occurred in September of 2020. My question to you is, Dux, do you think they will delay the rollout of this SLA update guarantee starting next month?
I'm 50-50 on it. I do think in some ways the outage this week may have been some form of testing, or I know they updated some new features and they had to roll back to meet that 99.99. So I think it's somewhat related, be it they're testing it or they're rolling out features to get that 99.99. But for me, I think it's 50-50. We'll see if they delay it.
Yeah, I don't have any. I actually asked Microsoft for comment. They haven't provided any details if they are going to do this or not. But I definitely think it probably put a little hiccup in. I mean, just logistically speaking, if they know they're not going to be done until mid-July or mid-2021 with the enhancements, I don't know. We'll find out. But it wouldn't surprise me either way if they do delay that. But I think it would be a little bit more of an ego bruise, I think, anything anything else along the way.
But Brad, in fairness though, if you look at the broader cloud landscape, do you have any stats on other cloud providers in terms of their SLA?
That I do not. And that's SLAs are such an interesting thing because part of this popped up on Reddit was and kind of what tipped off some of the looking into this is they said, sure, if they break their SLA and then they all say good luck getting your credits for Microsoft because you have to jump through 17 fiery hoops to actually prove that it impacted you and them and everything else. But no, I don't. Not familiar, actually, to be honest.
I would say, though, in the grand scheme of things, it's still a better SLA than if you had it on premises.
Oh, sure.
Because I don't know the last organization that I worked for that had a 99.99% SLA on premises.
Yeah, no. I think we can all agree that Microsoft has a better, generally speaking, availability of their platforms than the vast majority of on-premises operations. I would fight pretty hard to say that is accurate. But the question is when you're paying Microsoft for uptime and they don't deliver, then it gets a little different than when you have server racks and something happened. Because I think we've all probably been there at some point where management comes down and says, why isn't my stuff working? You're like, well, is that Microsoft's working on it? And then they do the always, well, yell louder so they work faster. But here we are. Anyways, they did get it back up. It was only down, I think, for like 4 hours, which, depending on what you're doing in life, can be a big deal. Or if you were in the European world, you're probably sleeping. So,
well, on Twitter, the M365 status Twitter handle, they at one point they said, "Oh, it'll be up in 15 minutes," and then they came back and said, "Well, not really. We're going to try and roll it back." Mm-hmm. But you're right; it took about 4 hours.
Yep. So, anyways, no issue since they got it rolled back, and everything has been. There's been no further issues. So whatever it was, they clearly identified it and it wasn't some nefarious thing. It was their own malicious is the wrong word. It was their own mistake. So nothing to be worried about there. Other things happening. This has kind of like been a month of shutdown and Ducks. And I talked a little bit about this before the podcast, but Microsoft is beginning the process to shut down the Windows Store for Business and Education. I'm curious, Ducks, because you all, AvePoint, has apps and stuff out in the marketplace. Were you using the Windows Store for business at all? Does this impact you in any way?
No, not at all. A lot of our apps is either directly in the Teams App Store mm-hmm. or in AppSource or the Azure Marketplace. So we don't really put stuff in the Windows Store. In fact, I hate to say this. I don't remember the last time I checked out Windows Store. Maybe when I was installing Windows and yeah. I just had to download some apps. But yeah.
So I think you just hit the nail on the head as to why Microsoft is shutting down the business, the Windows Store for business, is because AvePoint, which is a very large company that plays in the space, if you all are not using that channel, I can't imagine that there's many others that are either using that channel or seeing any sort of transaction through mm-hmm. that sort of model. So that is going away. Other things that are going away are the user voice forms. And I'm a little sad about this one, mostly because there's so much data. Like, as a journalist and somebody who covers it, if Ducks comes to me and says, hey, you know, we're having an issue with X, like, you go to user voice and be like, hey, is anybody else having this? You can see features popping around and all that's going away. Have you heard anything or have any feelings about user voice, Ducks?
I actually like user voice because, just like you, that's where I can, on a personal level, I can track what's coming up or what they're working on and what people are frustrated about. I other than that, I haven't heard why they're shutting it down or even what the alternative is. Have you heard any alternative for that? Or do you just email them directly or send a tweet?
So I sent a message to Microsoft, and they are systematically shutting down all of their user voices. The first one that was on the tragedy list was Office 365, but I believe throughout the remainder of 2021, they are going to shut down. The only thing that I have heard, and this didn't actually come from Microsoft, was from another party, said, hey, running user voice is actually kind of expensive. And Microsoft has a bunch of tools for gathering feedback. And so that is my kind of guess, is that it's just a cost-cutting thing.
I can see maybe putting in a tech community, for example. One yeah. nice thing with user voice is being public, right? You see yep. not only what people are posting, so I don't have to put the same thing, or Microsoft responds as to what they're working on as well. I could see maybe using tech community for that.
Yeah, it's not like they don't have the tools to do this. The downside is just the loss of the historical data that's just been floating around. And Microsoft did, to their credit, use user voice, right? They would go in there and be like, hey, this feature is now marked as complete and all that. So I hope that they have a proper replacement that does that.
What else is shutting down? Delve mobile apps, right?
Delve mobile apps. Ducks, I have yet to find a person who actually used the Delve mobile apps. Now, that doesn't mean people don't use Delve or the technology, but I believe the mobile apps, when I was researching this, the like, cover hero image that Microsoft used was like Windows Phone, like a Surface Arc. Like, it launched in 2015.
That's right. And you're starting to see the consolidation of their mobile app strategy too, right? With the mm-hmm. Office app, where you don't really have to download Word, Excel, and all these mobile apps, is just the Office app, which makes sense. I think just consolidating everything so you don't have to install tons of apps on your phone is helpful.
Yep. And so Ducks pointed this out, and I'm going to give him full credit for this thought process, but Ducks, right before this, you're like, hey, I don't think this is like coordinated effort, right? They're shutting down Delve, they're shutting down User Voice, they're shutting down the Store for Business. This is clearly like Microsoft like clearing the deck for something, or just kind of like taking out yesterday's stuff to replace it with new?
Hey, it's that time of the year, spring cleaning. Yep. No?
There you go.
But then apart from these things being shut down, on a broader perspective, the news just came out. Mary Jo Foley posted on ZDNet of a massive reorg internally. Right? Mm-hmm. So what's fascinating is, in a way, a large organization like Microsoft, being agile, being adapting to what's going on in the market, in the world today, I think it's a good thing. It's not easy. Any reorg is not easy, or shutting down these capabilities is definitely not easy, but I'm sure they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, they're moving things around. There was also, don't forget too, there's also been some pretty big senior leadership changes. Brad Anderson left. Julia White has left. Now they left on they went to other companies. Like, this was them just moving on in life. And so I'm guessing that this all might be related, that these two leaders left. They're looking to kind of just not revitalize, because I mean, Office is like growing like crazy, but to reconfigure things now that leadership is moving about.
And then Kurt Delvaney retired.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're seeing James Phillips now stepping up, taking on a bigger role. Andrew Wilson, who joined Microsoft last year, essentially taking on a bigger role as well. And I think both of them reporting to Scott Gu.
Yeah. So there's just a lot changing on that front. And then we cannot forget there was Ignite. I don't know what Ignite Spring 2021. I was going to call it Ignite 2020 Part 2, but 2021 happened. And Microsoft, this is something I'm very curious. I probably won't get shipped one for review, but Microsoft announced these little pucks. And they have, I think, seven microphones on them. And it's going to allow you just plop it down in your meeting room. You wire it up to Microsoft 365. And then it'll do 10 different people voice transcriptions. I think that's awesome. Like, that's a big step.
The bigger question is, when will we back in a meeting room?
Yeah. Let's put it this way. These things won't be available until private preview until the second half of this year. So I think that's Microsoft's bet, is maybe the second half of this year. I'm really hoping that's true, because I just, we need the personal interaction. I mean, there's so many people that like yourself. I was talking with Todd Bishop, and just, I haven't seen Paul and Mary Jo in person in well over a year. I think the last time we hung out was probably Ignite. So that's been well over a year. And just scratching just poke me, give me the juice, give me a couple days, and then let's go party.
That's right.
So
let's go go-kart racing, right?
Oh yeah, dude, that would be, I think that was probably one of the saddest disappointments last year, was like, well, we can't race again. What am I gonna do with these outfits I was gonna buy? So
we should race real cars, because there's not much cars on the street.
Dude, this is like way off topic. I was just watching, there's a Mazda Miata circuit, and they just had one of the craziest finishes ever. I think Tim Stevens tweeted out, it was three of them side by side all the way through the final lap. And it was so, because this is a Mazda Miata racing league, like, I don't know if they actually declared a true first place, because two of the three cars were so close and they only had one camera view kind of onward that they couldn't actually tell who won. So I'm in. So one other thing, Ducks, there's been a little hiccup, if you will, in the Exchange world. If you are running Exchange, I'm curious, I mean, you have a pretty broad view of the marketplace. What have you been hearing about Hafnium on your end?
Well, obviously, when all this happened, we had inquiries from customers and partners and investors, if we're impacted or not. Certainly, we're not impacted, but just talking to some customers, in fact, because of this, a lot of them are being incented to move faster to Microsoft 365. Certainly in highly regulated industries, some of them are still using Exchange Server, and they put all the appropriate protections and patches and whatnot. But other than that, I haven't really dug in much into Hafnium and the broader impact of it. I still see news around it. I think there's already government inquiry about it too that's happening.
Interesting. Yeah, I was curious how that would impact a company like yourself, not from like a negative perspective, but because you work with so many clients who are potentially in that, especially I would imagine, hybrid model where they could still be impacted. Actually, Steve Goodman wrote a really good post, shout out to Steve for Petri, talking about the last remaining Exchange servers that many or hybrid iterations are still running. And so how Microsoft has kind of put people in this position and what people can do to get rid of that last Exchange server if you are truly in a hybrid hybrid world. But go.
Yeah, the next thing is Microsoft provided wonderful guidance on this. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I appreciate Microsoft. They're on top of all this stuff. So in their latest security bulletin, just do a search, Microsoft Security Hafnium. They have guidance on what it is, what to do, and next steps.
Yep, they've even, for small and medium-sized businesses, they actually released a one-click tool that will help mitigate some of the issues, but you can't fully rely on this. They're pretty clear about that it only blocks known attacks using Hafnium, and it's not a replacement for the proper patching. But if you don't have a full IT shop at your disposal, you can install this on your Exchange server, and it should patch and not mess up anything else. So just to help everybody stay up to speed. But what else is going on your end, my man? You've got Shift Happens, I believe. I've seen some noise around that. What else is going on in the Avpoint world?
Yeah, so we got Shift Happens coming in a few weeks. So friends who's watching or listening, make sure you sign up for this free conference. It's a 48-hour conference. We have sessions in English and French and German and Japanese where people share their modern workplace journey, real-life customers talking about the good, the bad, the ugly, what works and what doesn't work. So sign up, shifthappens.to, and it's coming in late April. But okay. Other than that, we're chugging along, working with a lot of customers in their Microsoft Teams deployment. And what we're seeing too is a year into COVID, people are really leveraging the value of Teams beyond calling. You know, when COVID happened, everybody jumped on Teams for meetings and calls. But now they're realizing, wait a minute, we could do a whole lot more with collaboration and using a lot of the apps built in. So we're seeing a lot of growth in that.
It's interesting that you bring that up. We've pretty much migrated the entire editorial workflow for Petri inside of Teams. We now have a channel, which we call Petri Editorial. Then we have all the categories. And then when a writer wants to write a post, Steve Goodman, for example, on that editorial, he comes in, he puts the headline in, and then all of the other writers who are part of this community can also either A, help provide feedback, I can help steer, navigate, and we arrange the time of the publication and all that. And we used to do that using just different tools, but now the whole thing is like, I email people like, hey, you want to write on Petri? Yeah, whatever. It's like, we get the contract signed and then we bring them into that Teams. And now our whole workflow is effectively inside of a Teams channel. And it's really made my life, honestly, a lot easier because now everything's just like in one place.
Right, and sometimes we don't appreciate the idea of having a one-stop shop, right? Like we're so used to context switching. Oh, I need to go here and there and log in this. Oh, I need to drag this document there. But just having this one-stop shop just changes the game on how people work and be more productive.
Fantastic. Ducks, I'm going to leave us on one little cliffhanger. If you're thinking about buying Surface headphones, you might want to wait just a little bit.
All right.
Catch everybody next time. Thanks for tuning in.
I'm in the market for a new headphone. So with that,
we'll catch you all next time. Thanks, everybody. You can find links in the description, which could be below, up above, or wherever in your podcast app or on YouTube. And we'll catch all of you right back here next time.